Well, hello, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I'm going to tell you today everything that you need to know to keep from getting taken advantage of when you buy your next car. Yes, there are certain things that you can do to head off paying too much. Now, I can't help you if you decide to buy a car that, for example, doesn't really fit your needs and wants. That's on you. You know, I've seen it over the years. I've seen people come in to buy a pickup truck, and they end up leaving in a Camaro because it was pretty. It was in the showroom. Man, I'd like to have that. That looked good in my driveway. It ends up getting to their driveway, and then they wake up the next morning and they say, "What did I do?" We call that buyer's remorse. I've had buyer's remorse on things. I'm trying to think of. I'm kind of an early adopter. You know what that is? That's somebody that when there's a new shiny object out there, especially when it's technology-wise, I got to have it. You know, I really want to be out. I want to be there. When the Tesla, when they first revealed the Cybertruck, have you seen the Cybertruck? It looks like, you know, something out of a Star Wars movie, like one of those shuttles. Not Star Wars, not Lost in Space. Oh, Star Trek, yeah. You know, those shuttles that they used to go from the Starship Enterprise down to the surface to meet those, alien-looking people. They always go in a shuttle. That's what I think the Cybertruck looks like. And I decided, well, that looks different enough from anything I've ever seen. I'm going to reserve one. So I actually have one reserved. That was, about 3 years ago when Elon Musk talked about the Cybertruck, actually revealed it. He was trying to show people how tough the glass was in it, and he threw a rock at one of the windows. It was supposed to bounce off. It didn't. It shattered the window. Do billionaires get red-faced when something like that happens? They probably do. His did. But I'm going to have a Cybertruck if they build one, and we'll just use it as a conversation piece. But that is a weakness of mine. I am an early adopter. But we all have attributes that we prefer. You know, I'd have a whole lot more money if I weren't that way, if I was a little bit more careful. And that's what I want you to be. I want you to be careful. I'll probably hate that Cybertruck. But I really don't have to buy it if I don't want to. I've just put my name on the list. I was one of the early ones. Now, I didn't think I would want a Mustang Mach-E. I didn't think I'd be interested in that until I drove it. And I would not be interested if it were my only vehicle. Absolutely not. No electric vehicles for me if it's my only vehicle. Unless I never go anywhere except, in my local community. So, we've beat that dead horse, haven't we, on this radio show. I'm not, I don't mean to be anti-EV. I just want you to think about it. Just like I want you to think about what you're going to buy when you come into a car dealership. If you don't do the research, really identify, look at your life, look at how you live, the things that you do. You don't really need to buy an F-250 because it looks cool. F-250s don't ride good, folks, and 350s are even worse. If you just like the way it looks, it's real beefy and tall and all that stuff, and you don't tow anything, you don't need an F-250. Just get you an F-150 and lift it. Put a lift kit on it or level it. That's even cheaper. I did that to my F-150. So, but buy something within your lifestyle, your car life, something that fits in with you, because I can't help you with that, but I can certainly help you with some things that will keep you from paying too much. And I would certainly rather pay for something, write that monthly payment out, have it withdrawn from my checking account, if when I walk out of my house and see it in my driveway, I can smile and I'm happy with it. Now, there is no guarantee. I mean, you may buy the right car and just get a horrendous color. And when you first look at it, you say, "Oh, that's pretty." And yeah, it's pretty. But do you want to look at it every day? What's it going to look like when it's dirty? Like most of the time your cars are, let's face it. You say, "Well, I've always wanted a black car." No, you don't. No, if you've never had a black car, you don't want one now, because that black car is going to show every speck of dirt, and it looks like dirt when it's dirty. And so you got to be careful with that. You know, the safest color to buy is white. I know, it's just, I'm a geezer, you know, and so, but I've always liked white vehicles, always. Easiest to keep clean. If you do get a dent or something like that, they don't show. It is the easiest to keep clean. Plus, it's cool. Cooler. You ever touch a black car or a dark-colored car and feel how hot it is? Well, you touch a white car and it's not. And plus, if you ever wreck it, the paint's a lot easier to match, unless it is that that tri-coat paint. You know, it's like white and it has metallic in it. That is the hard. You can't match the paint on those. You really can't. So if you wreck it, and let's say you wreck it, somebody runs into your door with a shopping cart at Walmart, and it's really bad dent, and the dent doctor can't push it out, then when you paint that door, it's not going to match the other door or your fender. And so they're going to have to paint the fender and probably the whole side of your car. So that's one of the advantages of buying white, but not the tri-coat white. So see, this kind of stuff you learn on My Car Guru. These other colors like the brilliant oranges and the chartreuse, I don't even know what chartreuse is, but I know it's a color. Really weird green color. Just make sure you like it, because I can't help you with that. But if the first words out or near the, maybe in the first paragraph that comes out of a salesperson's mouth is, how much do you want your payment to be? You are at the wrong place. Now, I know that's an important question. You should have figured that out before you went car shopping. You should figure out, okay, based on if we buy a $50,000 car, we finance it for 72 months at 4.9% interest, which is interest rate that we qualify for. You know, you got to know that too. And, you know, if we pay $5,000 down, this is what our payment will be. And so that's what we can afford. So you need to have this in the back of your mind. But let me tell you why that salesperson wants to switch you over to payment really quickly. So that's how they make more money. They're trying to keep you from really thinking about what you're paying for the car, what you're getting for your trade, which are the most important numbers. They want you to focus solely on the payment because they can hide stuff. They can hide stuff that they pack into your payment, which is illegal. Well, if it's illegal, why don't they do it? Because they can, and they can get by with it. So that's why they do it. Not everybody, but there's a lot of them that do. That's a really big shortcut for a salesperson. It's a whole lot easier for him to get you into a car that you really can't afford just by dealing with the monthly payment. Let's say that you say, well, the most monthly payment that we want is $450 a month. That's the maximum that we can pay. And he may say, is that, you mean plus tax? Well, I guess we could pay the tax. Okay, so $450 plus tax, probably going to be about $500 then. Well, yeah, $500. We might be able to do that. Can we do that, honey? Yeah, we can do that. Okay, so he's already bumped you $50, and you just fell right into it, okay? And so the next thing is he realizes that you have not said anything about term. Do you think there's a big difference between paying $500 a month for 60 months and $500 a month for 84 months? Yeah, big difference. I'll tell you exactly how much difference. Hold on, let me calculate this. Okay, $500 for 60 months is $30,000. $500 for 84 months is $42,000. So would you rather pay $30,000 for a car or $42,000 for a car? Now, I know that's maybe a crazy question. It's really obvious, right? This is how I'm saying 60% of the people out there buy cars on monthly payment, and they have no idea when they agree to a monthly payment what the term is until they get into the finance office and they're signing that contract. And some people say, you know, they put that big long piece of paper in front of you and they say, sign here. And you sign it, and then you get home and you look at it and you said, I didn't realize that was for 84 months. And you realize you paid $42,000 for a $30,000 car. So where does it all start? Well, let's roll the tape back. It's when the salesperson asks you that question. Now, do all of them that ask you that question, do they have ulterior motives? No. It is a learned attribute, because a lot of them have lost deals. You know, they've tried to sell cars based on the selling price. You know, you got the price minus the trade-in is the trading difference. And then you have the payoff and all that stuff. And the customers say, okay, we're happy. We agree to that number. And then they get them in the finance office and they can't afford the monthly payment. So they're trying to find out real early what the monthly payment requirement is going to be. Where the buyer, if you answer that question, you say, well, we're shooting for $450 a month. Just don't answer the question. Again, because you should know where you stand. Say, listen, we just need a car that we can finance about $30,000. We know the term and stuff like that we want to do. Just get off of the monthly payment, folks, okay? Because that's where they want you to be. That's where a lot of inexperienced, unethical salespeople, sales managers, and car dealers want you to be. And it's one of the things that has given all car dealers a bad name. It's one of the reasons why the Federal Trade Commission is wanting to pass all these new rules for car dealers and disclosures that are totally unnecessary in a car dealership that does things right. And I'm going to say that most of the dealers in our particular market, I think, you know, do things right. There are a few bandits, that's what I call them, because I think it's stealing. Don't you? It's dishonest. It's stealing. It's dishonesty for sure. It's not being straightforward. Do not sign anything until you read it first. There is a disclosure in the top third of every bank contract that says the interest rate and the amount financed, the total of the monthly payments, the term, and all that stuff. If you don't look at anything, look at those ones that have the boxes around them, because that's the required disclosure. But if that doesn't look 100% right, then look at the rows of numbers beneath it, because that breaks down the sale, and that shows you all the different details. But you know what people do is they just kind of scan that. They want to trust the person they're talking to. He's nice. He has pictures of his family on his desk. He's got to be a good guy, right? Wrong. He may be a good guy, but he has lowered. What he's done is he has found some way in his mind to justify deceiving people into paying too much for a car. He has justified that in his mind. I heard a salesperson one time that was interviewing with me. He said, well, the customers are going to lie to you also, right? Well, I guess that's one way you can look at it. By the way, we're not interested in hiring you. Why? Is it my earring? No, it's your ethics. And ethics matter. At least they do to me. Okay, I'm going to take my first break. I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, I did a show a few shows ago. If you go into the podcast, you can listen to it. Just go to Apple Podcast or, you know, Google Podcast, Amazon. There's a bunch of places where these podcasts can be found. But there's one about your trade-in. Get your trade-in ready. Too many people just driving with their dirty old car, you know, and it's nasty and the tires are bald and it's got a star in the windshield and, you know, it's just not ready to sell. I mean, think about what you're doing. You're there to trade your car. What you're really doing is selling your car to the dealership. Don't you want the most money for it that you can get? Of course you do. Then wash it, clean it up, get it detailed, replace those tires at Walmart or someplace that sells really cheap tires, because all that dealership is going to do is look at the tread depth. And as long as it's got knee-deep in tread depth, as we say in the car business, then they're not going to deduct anything for it. They're not going to deduct because it says Billy Bob's Tires on the side instead of Goodyear. They just want to make sure it has some tread. And, you know, if you don't put tires on it, they're going to deduct $1,000 for a set of tires, and those Billy Bob's tires cost you $350 for a full set. So, you know, turn your windshield into your insurance agent. Get that paid for your $100 deductible or no deductible. Instead of the dealership, I'll allocate in $800 for a new windshield. So, you know, that's another big thing that you can do to save money on the front end of a car deal. We call it in the car business, we call it the front end of the deal and the back end of the deal. The front end of the deal is the actual car transaction. The selling price of the car minus the trade and the trading difference. The back end of the deal is what happens after you say yes, we'll buy the car. Because then you go into the finance office, and that's where you're presented with an opportunity to buy extended warranties, gap insurance. Well, we call them service contracts, but it's just, most people call it extended warranties. And you know, I get tired of clarifying that. I'm just going to call them extended warranties and just leave it at that. Gap insurance, all kinds of packages that include like tire and wheel protection, like if you scrub your tire, your wheels, and, you know, when you're driving at the driving through the drive-thru at the bank, you know, all these wheels stick out a little bit further than the tires do. They didn't used to do that. We used to put big old fat honking tires on everything, and now we put little skinny tires as far as sidewall height. And then we got these big monster 22-inch wheels, and people just bang them against curves, and they look terrible. And folks, you know, you don't have to replace those wheels. We've got these people come around and fix those wheels for $100 a wheel most of the time. And here you might go out and pay $1,500 for one wheel. I've got a Shelby GT500 track pack out here on my showroom floor. The wheels are $6,000 a piece. Don't drive through a outside bank teller with it. Yeah, they are. They're carbon fiber. Of course, you know, most people are going to be driving that car around a racetrack. But still, those are things. Get your car ready to sell, okay, before you go shopping. That could make a difference, but from nothing to $5,000 or $6,000, it all depends on how many different things your car needs that you could have taken care of. Okay, back into the deal. You walk into the finance office, be prepared for a presentation. The extended warranty, obviously, like I said, the gap insurance, which pays the difference that your insurance company doesn't pay. You know, if you wreck your car, your insurance company is going to pay what your car's worth on the market. If you owe a whole lot more, if you were upside down on your last trade-in, and you owe a whole lot more on your car than what it's worth, then there's a gap. You got to come up with the cash. And so gap insurance, that's only if you wreck the car or if you have your car stolen, does gap insurance kick in. And gap prices are all over the map. I mean, typically they'll be anywhere from $700 to $1,500. If you pay $1,500 for gap, you've paid too much. You know, you should be able to get a good gap policy for, I don't know, $600 to $800. And then you'll probably be presented with the fabulous opportunity to prepay for your maintenance. I'm not against this. Let's say that it's easier for you to just go ahead and do that. Just do the math. You know, it's okay to say, Mr. Finance Manager, can I borrow your calculator a minute? Or just use your phone. And when he tells you that we're going to give you 3 years of maintenance, make sure that it matches up with 3 years of your driving so that you know how many miles you're getting and how many oil changes you're actually going to get. And then, you know, take that price that he's charging you. Make sure you understand what the price is of everything that's included in that, you know, what you could buy it for if you just drove into the dealership and asked for it. And then, you know, divide that into the number of, or multiply that times the number of changes that you get. And if it's it should be a discounted price. You should be able to save money if you're paying for, if you're getting prepaid maintenance, right? Wrong. Usually they have a lot of markup built into that. And the reason they get by with it is because you don't get the calculator out. You try to do the numbers in your head. Oh, okay. Well, that'll be convenient. So that basically they're selling you on the convenience of it. And so, you know, you've just got to watch out for these little things. But they're not little. I mean, when somebody goes from when you quote, you're willing to quote a payment out there that you're willing to accept, then all they have to do is fill the bucket. It's just like, okay, Mr. Salesperson, I've got a $500 a month bucket right here. And you hand that to him, and so he goes and fills it up. And he takes you to a car. Well, I don't want that car. Well, that's what you can buy for $500 a month. Well, when in reality, you could buy that car for $350 a month. If you financed it for a normal term and a decent interest rate that you qualify for and without a bunch of warranty products and stuff like that stuffed in there already. I mean, payment packing is a big issue. And, you know, so you may ask yourself, well, how do those people sleep at night when they're packing payments? I don't know. They've found a way to rationalize that that's okay. That, you know, I'm doing a full disclosure. I'm laying out the paperwork in front of them. They're signing it. They must have wanted it, right? So they convince themselves that that's okay when it's really not. All right. enough bad news. I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I generated some bad news. I know. It's not really bad news until it's done to you. So how do you avoid it? You pay attention. You do the math. You bring a calculator. Most dealerships are not going to do this to you. There's a big effort going on right now across the country that is really trying to clean things up. But there's still a lot of folks out there that are working at car dealerships that have done it the wrong way for so long. Again, that they have figured out a way. They're not criminal. You know, they're not going to shoplift when they go to Walmart. You know, they're not going to steal from the grocery store. They don't cheat on their taxes. But they'll take money out of your pocket that they're not entitled to. And you just got to not let them do it. So, you know, if you want to, like, send me a picture of the deal sheet that you're working with a customer, I'll look at it for you. You know, I am a 44-year veteran of the car industry. I've owned 5 new car dealerships at one time. I now have 2, and that's where I want to be. And I consider it my personal mission in life to help people make good decisions, to help develop young people so that they can make good decisions in their life. And that's what my Car Guru podcast and radio show is all about. So if you want to get in touch with me, 423-552-2020, take a picture of the buyer's order, the deal sheet that they have quoted you. You know, you don't have to buy that day. You can walk out of the place. You say, I want to think about it. That's probably the best. I could have not done this whole show and just said, all you have to do is go in there, get a deal sheet, and tell them you want to think about it. And then you won't make any bonehead mistakes. But you still might. So send me the deal sheet. I'll look at it, and I'll tell you, you know, whether you're being taken advantage of or not. How's that? I mean, what kind of better deal can you get than that? 423-552-2020. Make sure it has the VIN numbers on there, what your trade-in and stuff like that is. I don't care if you're not buying one from me. That's that's not what this radio show is about. It's about helping people, you know, like I said. I don't have to repeat myself. I do that enough. Or you can send it to me by email, Lenny, L-E-N-N-I-E, Lawson, L-A-W-S-O-N, 2020@gmail.com. And that will be your insurance against a bad car deal. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and we'll see you next time.